Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us today from St. Louis, Missouri, with a preaching she's calling Meeting Your Samaritan.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them, and then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Picture this. You wake to find yourself in a strange bed in a strange room, unable to move your right arm and tasting blood on a split lip. Your right eye is swollen shut, and you can only partially open your puffy left eye, but this takes so much effort that you close it again, sliding back into darkness. When you wake anew, you see sunlight streaming in the crack beneath the door, illuminating beside you a bedside table with a cup of tea. Where are you? To deepen the mystery, the door swings open to reveal the silhouette of a woman you don't recognize. "I was wondering when you'd wake up," she says. "How's your head feeling?" "What happened?" you ask. "You were beat up, we think by robbers, hiding in the thicket beside the road. But who brought me here?" "A neighbor." "But who? What was their name?" She shrugs. "He had to go on, but said he'd check back in on you and settle your tab." You sigh. "Ah, a neighbor. What a relief. How could that be? You are far from home. Who would you know also traveling on that road? What are the chances that a neighbor would pass by? You rack your mind as to who it could be. People only have a small number of neighbors in the world." You've heard somewhere in life about the work of British evolutionary psychologist Robin Dunbar. It was in some newspaper or science journal you picked up somewhere about how there's a correlation between the size of a primate's brain and the size of a primate's social network. And inside that social network, or tribe, one might say, the monkey, the ape, will watch out for its fellow monkeys or apes, demonstrating benevolence, cooperation. But outside that tribe, the primate will not do so. Indeed, it'll see members even of its own species as threats. Dunbar thinks that based on the size of the human brain, our social networks would naturally average around 150 people. And he has lots of examples from human history to back that number up. The size of hunter-gatherer communities tends to be around 150. The ancient remains of Neolithic villages in the Middle East, around 150. The size of a military unit during the Roman Empire, 150. The Doomsday Book recording the population of towns in medieval England, even the Christmas card list of the modern British family, all suggest that humans have tended to cluster in groups of around 150 people. So for someone to have stopped and become so personally involved in your situation, it must have been someone within your 150. but who could it have been? You're running through list of possibilities in your mind when there's a rattling noise outside and a car with the tailpipe in need of repair pulls loudly into the parking lot, and the woman moves to open the blinds and you turn to look out that window and you spot an old jalopy plastered with bumper stickers from the last election that make you cringe. "Oh, there he is now," she says. "Who?" you reply. "The guy who brought you here. Carried you from the back seat of his vehicle." He steps out of the car, but you have no idea who this is. Do you have amnesia as well? That's not one of my neighbors," you say. "Really?" the woman who runs the inn asks. "Huh. Is neighbor a noun or a verb? Is it someone you live near or someone who draws near when you need them? Is neighbor something you have or something you do?" Everything about this man makes your hair stand on end. Listen as he greets the receptionist outside in the hall. By the way he talks, you can tell there is no way he's from back home. The innkeeper turns to you and says, "I imagine you'll want to speak with him." Your head begins to ache in a different sort of way. Yes, but maybe no. He looks, he thinks, he speaks so different from you. What if he's looking for money, for a favor in return? You owe him everything. How can you possibly repay that? How do you feel about your savior being a Samaritan? How is this even possible? Robin Dunbar would say that in all of human history, all of evolution, it's not set up for these kinds of things to happen. "I'll leave so that the two of you can talk," the innkeeper says. And I, your narrator, will take that cue to leave you also, so that in your reflection on the scripture of this Sunday, you may continue the conversation. Think carefully about what you want to say, if anything, to your Good Samaritan, and what you want to ask. Who is he? Why did he stop? And why did he become so personally invested in your mishap? Evolutionarily speaking, care and cooperation are not set up to happen outside of one social network. And yet, what might this man have to say to Robin Dunbar that Robin Dunbar would never have to say about what it means to be a neighbor?